Good morning. Welcome to The Drive. You're probably wondering why you don't hear a very deep, lispy voice right now. This is Katie Christensen. Carmichael Dave is out today. Yes, I got that call about 4:50 this morning. So Matt George and I are being set loose on the show today to break down the NBA Finals.
We have been released.
First text of the day, Matt, at 11:40, which you guys can all get involved in that. Finally, all day draft talk. No, hate to break it down for you.
Yeah, about
it's
that.
Probably not going to happen. The NBA draft is next Thursday. We've got plenty of time to get into that. But right now, Matt, we finally have an NBA champion to talk about. Took 5 games. We were hoping maybe it would go 7. But no, the Warriors. The Warriors won last night, 129 to 120.
And is anyone really surprised? I mean, as soon as you knew this game was going back to Oakland, this series is going back to Oakland, it was over.
Really? You think that?
And there is no chance, in my opinion.
I mean, we know that.
Of course. But the Cavaliers going back to Oakland, I couldn't see the Warriors ever considering being able to drop a game at home, having a chance to clinch a game at home. And I know you came up with a massive stat about how long it's been since a team has clinched in Oakland.
We talked to Tim Roy yesterday, the voice of the Warriors on the radio call. We'll have his final call for you here in a moment. Talked to him yesterday, brought up a great stat. This is the first time that a Bay Area team has won a title on their home playing surface since 1974. Finally done last night.
And the fact that, I mean, I still would have picked Golden State in Game 6, even if somehow the Cavaliers had found a way to win this game.
Well, that's where you would have been wrong. Yeah.
So you thought at that point, a lot of people were thinking if the Warriors had lost last night, that the Cavs were the front runners then to come back and steal the series.
Well, possible. I thought it would have gone to 7, but that didn't happen. We can take your calls today as well at 339-1140 with Dave out. There's more time for the callers to talk.
Come on in.
That's just the reality of it. So the fact that they have now won their second title in 3 years, the Warriors, after last year having a 3-1 lead in the finals, falling to the Cavaliers, 3 straight years that we see this matchup between these two teams. Obviously, the big storyline now that we have a winner really is whether or not there's always going to be an asterisk on this championship because of Kevin Durant joining this team during the offseason. And that has been, there's been so many people that have been just pissed off about this. And I was actually excited. I tweeted about it last night late because I was up late, you know, all kinds of stories to read and sound to listen to from kind of the Warriors winning and also the other side of it, what LeBron and Kyrie and the Cavaliers, their reaction to this. And I thought it was interesting, you know, they're showing, you know, LeBron and the Cavs walking off the floor and Kyrie Irving was waiting for LeBron in the tunnel at Oracle Arena. And he said, we'll be back here next year. And is there any reason to think that that won't happen?
Next year, the year after that, if anything, that's what I'm worried about for the future of the NBA is if anything, now it's up to the Cavaliers to match what Kevin Durant did last offseason. So who are they going to go out and get? Who's going to join the Cavaliers regime? If this Warriors group stays together, it's just going to keep going.
Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting offseason. We obviously, you know, we said we have the draft coming up. And for teams like the Sacramento Kings, that's what you have to look forward to is the draft. But for teams like Cleveland, really just for Cleveland, because I don't see there being another team, and we'll see. You can't ever count out the Spurs, but that's in the West, and they would have to get past the Warriors. But in the East, would Boston be able to actually contend? They were the number one seed in the East this year, but that Eastern Conference Finals, that playoff series, wasn't even close. So is there going to be a team that is going to be able to be put together, compiled in the East, that is going to be able to compete with the Cavs? And really for the Cavs, Matt, how are you going to be able to add people to this roster that are going to be able to make you compete with the Warriors next year?
Well, we'll see what the Warriors have in cap space because that's going to be the issue now because suddenly Steph Curry, you have to pay for him now. He's not on that deal where he was injured, so you got him for bargain bucks. But you brought up something interesting yesterday that I think you nailed right on the head. Dave and I were having fun going back and forth about this stupid idea of trading the Kings away for the Kardashians and, or the Kardashian victims, I suppose.
Yeah.
And you brought up the fact that why would the Kings want to acquire like a James Harden or anything like that? Because you're just going to run into the buzzsaw of the Warriors and the Cavaliers. So from Boston's standpoint, they were the number one overall team in the East, and they have the number one pick. Do they want to go for it now, or do they want to wait it out? Because I feel like a lot of teams are just going to look at these two and go, just let them go, and we have to wait them out like 3-4 years down the road when they start to decline, because at this point, there's no evidence as to why they would stop being what they are.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, LeBron, what is it, his 14th season? And in my opinion, watching him play, he absolutely took over for the Cavs in the fourth quarter yesterday. He was doing everything that people wanted him to be doing the whole time. He got to the rim and scored and physically dominated the Warriors time after time after time. I think it was Kyrie Irving that finally hit a shot, but for a stretch of like 5 or 6 minutes in the fourth quarter, the only player to score for the Cavs was LeBron. And I don't see him even close to starting to decline.
No.
So what that means for the NBA for the next 4 or 5, what do we got, 4 or 5 more years of this team? We don't know what's going to happen with injury or players. I don't see anybody on that Warriors team going anywhere. Yeah, they've got to pay some people, but I see guys like Steph Curry. He's going to take less money. They don't care. We've got some sound on Curry talking about this season and playing with Kevin Durant and how they kind of came together. Let's take a listen. We're talking about an MVP, Steph Curry. And when Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors, I think I was maybe one of the loudest ones talking about this. You have Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, already the three-headed monster for the Warriors. And you're sitting here adding one of the best scorers in the NBA right now, a top 5 for sure, maybe top 3 player. How is that going to work out? How are they going to assimilate? Who is going to have to give up something to be able to make that pairing work? And for a while, you know, we kind of saw them. I didn't feel like they ever really struggled, but Steph wasn't really Steph either. And Draymond Green last night after the game, he talked about the turning point in the season when Steph Curry finally flipped that switch. Steph was sick last night. I mean, he didn't have the greatest series. If you want to look at numbers and what he's capable of, and he struggled in game 4, got a lot of the blame for that, Matt. But in the second half of that game, particularly the fourth quarter, he took over. And it was a back and forth between him and Kevin Durant and just absolutely picking that team up and carrying them to that title. And it could have gone either way. I mean, with how big the Cavs were down in the first half, it looked like the Warriors were going to be able to just smoothly sail through the second half, but that didn't happen. I mean, they brought it within 5, and that is when Steph Curry flipped it into another gear.
And that's what I think I'm most impressed about by this unit is Durant and Curry, to me, did the best job complementing each other by taking pressure off of one another. Durant was the MVP of this series. He averaged over 30 points a game. Yeah. He was their go-to scorer. However, when he was getting bodied or when he was getting a lot of attention on him, you forgot about the two-time MVP on the perimeter. And then Steph would take over. It would take attention off of Durant, not to mention Klay Thompson was still there. Draymond Green was still there. Mm-hmm. Andre Iguodala off the bench. That team is just so stacked and so well-rounded. And I give a lot of credit to Steve Kerr and then I suppose Mike Brown a little bit, but everybody bought into this idea that it's not a team of superstars. It's not an all-star team. It's a team that's going to win with all-stars on it.
And that's the key. That's the key right there, team. And we have so much sound to get into today. Coming up next, we have the Morning Brew. But to me, that is the difference right there. What we saw from the Warriors this year was them become a true team. The most selfish, probably NBA title team that we've seen, because, you know, you mentioned Klay Thompson. I thought he had a fantastic game, but when you look at the stat sheet, 11 points, it's not a big deal. That doesn't sound like a big night for Klay, but he hit big baskets down the stretch. And defensively, what he did on LeBron multiple times in the second half, one-on-one on the low block. He absolutely affected this game, and that's what they did. We'll be back in a few minutes. We've got the Morning Brew coming up. Talk about, of course, the Warriors winning the title, KD MVP. And, of course, a lot of people are going to think, well, you know what? No matter who won, LeBron deserves that. We'll get into that. And some Kings news as well for you coming up after this. That was the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy, final call. Warriors win their second title in 3 years. And, of course, that was the third matchup that we saw against the Warriors and the Cavaliers. And I think a lot of people thought it was going to be a four-game series, that the Warriors would sweep. Obviously, Cleveland goes back to Ohio. They win game four in just crazy fashion. It was a physical game. They shot the heck out of the ball, and then it goes back to Oracle. And you have to give credit to that fan base last night. That arena was ridiculously loud. And it's, you know, and we talk a lot of trash about Warriors fans and that kind of thing, Matt, but there are some diehard Warriors fans that have been fans of this team through the ups and the downs. And I'm happy for Warrior fan today that they could see that on their home floor, that it happened in Oakland. And here we are.
And that's really the only consolation prize of this series going five games. It was disappointing to see it not end in a sweep for two reasons. One, I just wanted the season to end because I think it's been terrible.
Yeah.
But number two, you wanted to see that 16-0 history with how good this team was to literally set that bar. However, yes, the fans got to see it in their building in Oakland, the celebration probably still going on here at 6:20 in the morning. And there's always a little bit of pride, at least for me, to know there's been another championship on Northern California soil. It's not Southern California. It's not a juggernaut like New York or anything like that. It's NorCal. So, I mean, congratulations, Warrior fans. There are a lot of phenomenal fans out there, but we'll...
I'm wondering when Kings fan is going to, you know, weigh in here and be like, hey, you can't be happy for them. That's not fair.
They're not going to be able to call in because they broke their phone over their knee last night.
Morning Brew number two, Matt. Well, Kevin Durant won the MVP, and I think he was very deserving of it. And I know in pro sports, and I probably, you know, sports in general, when you have a team that wins a title, more times than not, that MVP is going to a player on that winning team. And a lot of people today are going to be talking. I saw Damian Barling tweet out last night. He thinks that LeBron is the MVP of this, or he alluded to it in his tweet. And a lot of people are going to think that. But you have LeBron, who averaged a triple-double in the finals. It has never been done before. And in his 20 elimination games, he has the highest scoring average of any player in NBA history. I mean, we can give LeBron credit for what he was able to do, but Kevin Durant was spectacular, averaged over 30 points a game in this series, and he led his team to a title. And you can't argue with that.
There's always a bunch of unwritten rules when it comes to NBA awards. The finals MVP, to me, almost always has to be on the winning team.
Why the hell not?
And in this case, Kevin Durant, I mean, I've been one of those I don't blame him for making the decision that he made. I wasn't happy with him joining a 72-73 win team, but by every reason, he earned this, right? I mean, he was easily the best player on the Warriors. He led them in scoring. He was their go-to guy. He hit that big shot in game three. So he absolutely deserves to be the MVP.
And it wasn't just scoring. That's my thing. He had to play both sides of the floor, and he was matching up more times than not against LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that, and this is one of the rivalries that I think is going to be the most interesting looking ahead the next 4 or 5 years in the NBA, is the rivalry between those two players, because they're good friends. But we saw them get into it in game four. Things got testy, and there is a ton of respect both ways, but they are really going to be the rivalry to watch going forward. That was the smooth voice of our favorite NBA radio play-by-play announcer, Mr. Gary Gerald. Rudy Gay, we knew this was coming. He officially has opted out of his contract with the Kings. We knew this was happening, a month ago it came out. Now it's official. The Kings have Thursday to look forward to with the 5th and the 10th pick in the draft. This isn't a surprise, Matt, but at least now it's official and the Kings can start to really put together their draft board and plan for free agency, which is upcoming in July. They have a lot of moves, but it's funny to me how this finals and these two super teams, really, the Warriors and the Cavaliers, have changed the outlook over the next 5 years for a lot of teams, including the Kings, in the NBA, because they had DeMarcus Cousins. They traded him away. A lot of people were pissed about that. Mm-hmm. And as much as I loved DeMarcus and loved working with him, it was the right choice, in my opinion, because he's in his prime. And no matter what, you're never going to be able to put players around him to be able to compete for a title. So Rudy's gone. Kings have the draft to look forward to, the rebuild. We're really going to see what the next couple of years are going to look like. Come Thursday, we'll have a better idea what direction they're going. But the Rudy story, it's done. It's over. It's closed.
It's crazy to think it's been 2 months and 1 day since the last Sacramento Kings game. That's how long these playoffs have been. But it fits in with the theme. Time is really on the side of the Sacramento Kings mm-hmm. at this point. They can't afford to have so many young contracts and take a lot of young draft picks and just mold a team together slowly and surely, because even if they put together a team that made the playoffs, made the 8th, 7th, 6th seed, mm-hmm. there's no hopes of even coming close to, maybe you might be lucky to win a game against the Warriors in the opening series.
Well, and in all fairness, I think for a lot of Kings fans, because of the, 10-year drought that it has been since they've been in the playoffs, I think a lot of fans just want to get them back into the playoffs and they want to see it. But I'm kind of on the other side. I'd rather see them be able to compete. So the Morning Brew brought to you by McDonald's. Enjoy the new McCafe Caramel Macchiatos, Cappuccinos, and Americanos. Any small for just $2. Price and participation may vary. Coming up on the show, we're going to continue our NBA Finals talk. Jim Cosimore, my good buddy, my little buddy, he's going to join us at 7:30. More breakdown of the NBA Finals coming up next here on The Drive. Welcome into The Drive. This is Katie Christensen. Carmichael Dave out today. And I know for all of you on the text line that want to give him crap, it takes a lot, especially given the new dynamics of our show with it just being him and I, Matt George behind the glass with me this morning. For him to not come to work today after Game 5 of the NBA Finals, when the Warriors win, there's going to be all kinds of fallout from this. We're going to get into it. We've already talked about Kevin Durant. He won the Finals MVP. And there's already a ton of people on the text line at 441140 saying, I don't care what he did. He's a sellout. He never should have came. The Warriors are cheaters. You're more than welcome to call into the show. We'll talk about it. 339-1140. If you want to get in on the show, plenty of airtime today with Al Carmichael saying. But I want to get into the Cavs side of things because, you know, when you look at LeBron James, best player in the world, I don't think that anyone can dispute that. I don't know that anyone's going to argue with that fact. But no matter how you look at it and how good that Cleveland Cavaliers team is, who, by the way, and I'll say this, I'll go ahead and, you know, back up over myself in the bus. About 2 months left in the regular season, I really didn't know if that Cavaliers team would make it out of the East. Boston was playing extremely well. Former King Isaiah Thomas leading them in MVP conversations for the first time. He was one of the top five in the MVP conversation. And Cleveland just did not look good. But I think the important lesson that I've learned, and probably others have learned it much quicker, I'm not very quick on this, you can't ever count out LeBron James. And obviously, last night, I mean, you can't argue with the fact that this guy left everything on the court. He averaged a triple-double for the first time in NBA Finals history. This is what he had to say after the game. That's LeBron James talking about the team that the Warriors assembled. And, you know, he's never gonna complain. I think it was before game four, Matt, where he had a lengthy press conference. And he talked a lot about, hey, he's given credit to his opponent, which, of course, you've got to do. And what the Warriors were able to assemble after losing last year after a 3-1 lead in the finals. Oh, LeBron. I mean, do you feel bad for him? I don't know that I can feel bad for him. I think a lot of people are upset with the Warriors for signing Kevin Durant. And I believe it was last week, we talked about Draymond Green after in the parking lot after the game. When they lost to the Cavaliers last year, he called first his general manager, while sitting in the parking lot and said, hey, this is on you. We need to go after Kevin Durant. And then his next phone call was to Kevin Durant. And the crazy thing is what this, and Matt, you mentioned it earlier. This hasn't been a great NBA season because you had two teams that were clearly dominant. You could predict very easily that we were going to see these two teams in the finals for the third straight year.
You wouldn't have to watch a second of the regular season or the postseason and come into the NBA finals with no knowledge whatsoever, and you would have been just as up to speed as everybody else.
But I think the crazy thing for me at this point, because now that we've finally, we know who won, you know, I think everybody, even Vegas, thought we were going to see a sweep. We're going to see 16-0 in the playoffs for the Warriors. First time that would have ever happened. And the only time, because if it had happened, the only thing anyone can do is match it
right
again. But the big storyline, and this is what is so crazy to me. I just tried to look at the playoffs and this series particularly and just enjoy what we were seeing. Because you're right. The regular season, even the postseason, wasn't that great. And it was kind of boring and yawn-inducing. But I tried to step back and say, okay, take that out of it. Let's watch and enjoy and try to appreciate what we're seeing right now. Because whether or not you like the fact that Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City and is his best friend, you know, Russell Westbrook, in search of a title, you have to appreciate what that Warriors team and Steve Kerr and that franchise was able to do. They built a phenomenal team that nobody was even on the same level with. Even LeBron and the Cavs, who are a phenomenal team, and he is the best player in the world, he could not touch them.
You asked earlier if you feel bad for LeBron. I will never feel bad for LeBron because he is LeBron James, but there's only two times in his career that I felt, in finals matchups at least, that he's been overmatched. This year, and then when he was young taking on the San Antonio Spurs, when he was literally all that Cleveland had. I think the NBA is breathing a bit of a sigh of relief that at least Game 4 and Game 5 were pretty competitive and entertaining, and a lot of that was due to the chippiness, which I know we'll get to and we'll address, but the entire NBA Finals this season was a snooze fest. Every game that the Cavaliers...
I thought that Game 4 and 5 were actually... I thought last night's game was a phenomenal game.
It was, but every game that these two teams played, not against each other up to that point, was not necessary. Mm-hmm. The only entertaining games from these playoffs, I mean, the most entertaining series was the Utah and Clippers series, because
yeah,
of like Joe Johnson.
First
and
round.
Then, and then we had good moments in between Washington and Boston as well. But ultimately, you could watch these games, and even Boston was the number one seed in the East, and you could watch Boston taking on Washington and go, well, it doesn't really matter who wins because they're just going to run into a buzzsaw. To me, that's bad for the league because that takes out competition. Well, however, we got what we wanted. We got the three-peat. It's probably going to be a four-peat.
The question here, too, is what does this mean for the league going forward? Is this good or bad for the league?
Terrible.
Because I think the same could very possibly be true next year. And obviously we've got free agency to look forward to. You've got all these different moving pieces to see, you know, where some of these top free agents are going to end up. And will that make a difference in terms of anyone else in the league being able to compete with the Cavs and the Warriors? And we'll get into the free agency look a little bit later, but from the text line right now, I said earlier that I thought that Kevin Durant did an excellent job guarding LeBron. And this, you can't say KD had to guard LeBron because Bron averaged a triple-double, so he failed. But he did play great offensively. I'm going to agree to disagree on this one because no one can stop LeBron James.
I was going to say, can anyone stop LeBron?
But the fact that he had to... Kevin Durant, who, what is he, 190 pounds soaking wet? I probably weigh more than Kevin Durant. He is long and lengthy. The physicality of the game that LeBron brings when you have to guard him, that's not his style. But he did, I thought, a very admirable job of going up against him, play in and play out, even Klay Thompson, because, you know, you're going to switch. There's switches and stuff like that that happens. I thought that overall, especially in that game, the Warriors did their best to make it difficult. Now, we saw down the stretch of the fourth quarter where it didn't matter who. LeBron went into this mode where he was just destroying everybody. But it was too late. It was too late at that point.
The biggest compliment I can give Kevin Durant in regards to LeBron James is that he made LeBron work on both ends of the floor. That's the best you can do.
Well, and to be able to average over 30 a game while you're also having to physically battle and go up against LeBron James on the other end, it's admirable. You have to give KD credit for that. Right now, it's 6:40. Time to get your car wash at Seven Flags Sunrise Express Car Wash in Citrus Heights, where you get unlimited car washes for just $19.99 a month. Okay, we'll take our first phone call here. Matt, I'm new to this. So here, Ron, welcome to The Drive. You're on with Katie and Matt.
Yeah, I was just wondering, we talk about the Warriors and the fact that they're probably a dynasty now, their organization and the people that have led them there. I was just wondering who's going to lead the Kings to that, to the playoffs or to that kind of a parade.
Ron, thank you for the call. I mean, that's a great question. And I think that's a question that multiple other franchises around this league are looking at, because you're going up against, you know, two of the greatest teams in NBA history. And one is leaps and bounds, it looks like, right now above the Cavaliers, and that's the Warriors. And so I think a lot of teams right now are really at rebuild mode. And the Kings, I actually like the direction they're going in, but I can't say who it's going to be long term. I know that I like some of the moves that Vlade has made. We've got the draft to look forward to. We'll obviously get into that. And there's plenty more time this week to get into that. The draft coming up next week for the NBA. But in our next segment, we'll get into what the difference was in between Game 4 and Game 5. Jim Cosimore is going to join us at 7:30. Plus, we've got Brad Paisley tickets to give away later in the show. So stay tuned right here on The Drive. Matt, it's hard to do the show when you're bringing back in and I'm dancing.
I see no problem with that.
Katie Christensen and Matt George with you this morning on The Drive. Oh, man. Almost an hour into the show, we are Carmichael Dave Less. Got the phone call this morning, really a couple, like 2 hours ago, almost on the dot. I was on my way in about 4:50 this morning and got the call from Dave. And I had a long night last night. I was not prepared for this. So thank you, everybody, for bearing with us here. Dave is out sick. And for him to miss this day, yeah, he's pretty sick. So all the people on the text line that are talking trash can just stick it. But it's funny to me, Matt, because I have never done this. I've never sat in this chair, never ran the show, especially had to do it on my own, you know. And I was thinking this morning, like, for whatever reason, it made me think about my first start in the WNBA. And it kind of made me laugh because my first start came at Madison Square Garden and it was sold out. And it was, 2002, because that's how old I am. And I think I probably picked up like four fouls in the first 5 minutes, like just the nerve. And I was never like a nervous player or whatever, like nerves. And I couldn't be because I was such a hack. Like nerves would just make me foul out of a game so fast. And so I was like, man, who would have thought that my first start on radio would be here in Sacramento at HDK? But we're going to do it. We're going to get into this finals. We've talked so much about it, and I think one of the overarching or arcing, if you're Dave, who potato, potato, storylines of this, now that this is over and the Warriors have won their second title in 3 years, is going to be the Kevin Durant element. And people absolutely are livid about this. Unless you're a Warriors fan, then you don't care. And I don't care either. And I'm not a Warriors fan. I had no dog in this fight. It doesn't matter to me. I kind of tend to go the player direction in terms of these conversations, because it's free agency. You can go wherever the hell you want. And whatever your motivation is for it, I don't care. Whether it's money or in search of a title. I've seen so many people go to teams for money. I'd rather see someone go to a team for a title. That I can respect. But as this plays out, and we're, you know, the talking heads on radio, we're going to be discussing this for a while. It's going to go into next season. I'm wondering when the storyline is going to change, if ever. Is it 5, 10, 20 years from now that we're going to be talking about this Warriors team for what they are, instead of having, you know, the term cheater attached to it? So many people are upset about this. And LeBron James even has talked about it. He doesn't feel that any team he ever went to was a super team. You know, he feels that even when he left Cleveland and went to Miami, they had to bring, I think it was like 9 guys joined the team that offseason. But you had Chris Bosh, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade. And a lot of people there, that's a super team.
Not to mention they were barely a 40-win team, and they had been knocked out of the opening round of the playoffs the year before.
Yeah, and so the fact that, Golden State was coming off an NBA record year of 73 wins, and they blew a 3-1 lead in the finals, and then Kevin Durant joins the team, people just don't think it's fair.
It's tough because I look at Kevin Durant, and a lot of people were angry towards Durant. And I never felt upset at Durant because he did exactly what he needed to do to get what he wanted. And I'm not mad really at the Warriors either because they did exactly what they needed to do to secure a championship. I
think for the first three games of this series, a lot of people it was a foregone conclusion that the Warriors were going to win. But then game four happened and Cleveland came out on their home floor and not only lit them up from long range, but it was maybe the most physical game of the NBA season. And I felt that that was the difference in that series. And then you go to last night's game and there's this whole thing. Oh, the Warriors, they get punked. You can punk them. Like, you just got to be physical with them. Well, things changed last night. That was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in an NBA game. Seriously, and Dave and I were down at ABC 10 last night doing our finals coverage, and we're sitting in the room watching it, and we paused it, and then Dave took a video of it and screenshotted multiple frames. David West and Tristan Thompson made out last night. And they embraced, they were holding each other tenderly. There was multiple contacts with the mouth. It was awkward, but the one thing you can say, with the physicality, David West is maybe one of those guys that you absolutely don't want to try and punk. And he hadn't had a lot of playing time in this series up to that point. Wasn't much of a factor. But I like what Steve Kerr did last night in terms of allowing, and not even just Steve Kerr, but the mentality of the Warriors to say, okay, not only did we get punked in game four, they outplayed us. They were more physical. They put us on our heels. They came out and said, okay, well, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen twice. Fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that did not happen last night. And David West was one of those guys. But that was, seriously, though, that was the difference for me.
And I'm surprised it came from Golden State's end. I would have expected it to be Cleveland trying to be the instigator, trying to be physical. Dave talked about how this Warriors team can be punked. You can get under their skin at times. Guys like Draymond Green, David West. But really, it still felt like even in those situations, the Warriors were still in control. David West sent a message at that point. Even though he picked up the technical foul, he was really the instigator. He sent that message, you're not going to push me around. And that really lit a fire for Golden State.
Well, and usually they rely on Draymond Green to be that guy.
Right.
And it was nice to see someone else step up. And Draymond Green had some comments about the aggression and physicality of this game after the game finished. I like that because so many people did think that the officials impacted game four and they thought that it was completely lopsided and in favor of the Cavs. And you didn't hear any of the Warriors make that excuse. And to hear Draymond Green after game five and, of course, after hoisting up the trophy, maybe it's a little bit easier to acknowledge that. He said, hey, they were more aggressive and they got rewarded for it. So we had to change it.
The officiating crew last night did a great job as well and deserve a lot of credit for they came into last night's game with a lot of heat on them, even though they weren't necessarily the ones involved in the game four scuttles. But they did a good job taking their names and taking themselves out of the game almost from the get-go to where even by 5 minutes left in the first quarter, you even forgot they were there.
Yeah. I mean, it's an impossible situation to be in, and you're never going to be able to make everybody happy. I would never in my life want to officiate a game at any level. It's awful. And maybe even worse, Matt, at the youth level. Coming up next, we're an hour into the show here on The Drive. We're going to get into a little bit of who comes out looking better in this, LeBron or Kevin Durant. And I've got some Warriors fans on the text line that says some stuff about Kevin Durant. It actually surprised me. We've got that coming up next on The Drive.